to help us to be attentive and learn something here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, last week we covered basically the first half of Genesis chapter 9. And instead of covering it all in one sermon, there's this really famous story here at the end of Genesis 9 I just want to spend a whole sermon on. And it's the question that comes up of, you know, what did Noah's son do unto him? Because you have the story of Noah getting drunk, and then it says that he wakes up, he knows what happened, and he said, you know, cursed be Canaan. There's a lot of different opinions about this. There's a lot of questions. So let's look at a couple verses, and I'm going to show you some different theories on this topic, and then I'll kind of go through each of the different ones. It says in Genesis 9, verse 18, and the sons of Noah that went forth into the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. And so he mentions three sons here, because if you remember in the ark, you had Noah and his wife, and then you have three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and then you have those their wives. So you've got eight people on the ark. And then it says here in verse 18, and Ham is the father of Canaan. The reason why is because Canaan is going to be very significant in this story, so it specifically mentions him. That does not mean that this is the only child or the only grandchild of Noah. It's just the one that's actually pertinent. And sometimes in the Bible, it doesn't mention every single person that's a son or a daughter or a grandson or whatever. Just the significant people. And Canaan's very significant in the story. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. So this kind of goes back to that idea that the flood was definitely global, because the earth is overspread from Noah and his sons. So it's very clear everybody else has been wiped out, and God is starting over. Then it says in verse 20, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Now, one thing we need to realize before we get to verse 20 is Noah was 600 years old when he gets on the ark. Okay, 600 years old. Well, he lives to be over 900 years. Just because we're here in verse 20 does not mean that this is like the next year. Okay, we're going to see that significant time must have gone by, because we see the character Canaan, which I believe is definitely alive at the time that this is taking place. And obviously, some time had to have gone by. So I don't think that Noah just got off the ark and then immediately he's getting drunk, because obviously it's going to take time to plant a vineyard and to make wine. I mean, some time has to have gone by. They obviously lived a lot longer than we do today. So it could have been 100 years, could have been 200 years. I don't know exactly, but a significant amount of time has probably gone by. And it says he planted a vineyard. And obviously there's nothing wrong with planting a vineyard. Nothing wrong with grapes, except the cost. Right? I mean, grapes taste awesome, but it's just very expensive. But then in verse 21, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. Now, the word wine in the Bible is not always alcoholic, but it's very clear from the context here, this is alcoholic. And so Noah drank of the wine, and he's drunken, and he is uncovered within his tent. When it's saying he's uncovered, it's saying that basically, you know, his clothes are, you know, gone. He's showing off his nakedness, okay? Now, it doesn't exactly tell us why he's naked, but, you know, whether someone did that or he did that himself. I've known this sort of story in college where people get drunk and then all manner of different wickedness happens. Now, we're going to look at this story because we see here in these first couple verses, it's obvious that Noah drank alcoholic wine. And I think from the context, it's obvious that Noah made a free will choice to end up doing that. Now, why he did that, I'm not sure. One thing to keep in mind is that they lived so long during these time periods, 900 years, that, you know what, it makes them more likely to have committed a major sin or major mistake in their life. And unfortunately, this is highlighting what I believe is a major sin of Noah, where he's getting drunk. And obviously, one thing you can take away from this whole sermon, regardless of what your opinion of the story is, don't drink alcohol, right? You do not know what's going to happen when you drink alcohol, and we see that in this story. Now, this story we're about to read, it's a very popular story. There's a lot of different opinions. And I'll be 100% honest right off the bat. I am not 100% for sure what happened. I am not 100% dogmatic. I'll give you all the major theories and what I would say might be holes in each of the theories and give you kind of my opinions. So this is going to be kind of a different sermon, because usually if I'm not sure about something in the Bible, I kind of just skip over it and just highlight the stuff that I am sure about. But it's such a famous story, I want to show you all the different opinions and all the verses and what the arguments would be. And this is one of those sermons where you're saved, you've got the Spirit of God inside of you, the same Spirit I have, you can read the Bible and come to your conclusion, and it could be something that people could have different opinions on, because godly people interpret especially stories that are not 100% clear. Sometimes people interpret them differently, and that's okay. So here are the four theories we're going to look at today, and in my opinion, two and maybe three are possible. So I don't think all of these are possible, but we're going to go through four theories, because what seems to be a confusing thing is no one knows what his younger son did onto him, but then he curses Canaan. And you're like, well, wait a minute. If Shem, Ham, or Japheth did something to him, why is he cursing Canaan? And it's something people have had trouble reconciling. And so one of the theories, and this is the one that I do not think at all is possible, but I'll tell you how they try to reconcile this, is they say, well, Noah got drunk, and Ham, the son of Noah, did not molest Noah, but he molested Noah's wife, or his mom, Ham's mom, and then she got pregnant, and the child was Canaan. And so that's how they try to reconcile, well, Ham did this action, he knew what his younger son did onto him, and the result of that is Canaan ends up being born, and so they say, well, that's why the curse is upon Canaan. As I said, we'll look at the verses and their argument. I don't agree with that. I'm just kind of giving you the theories right up front. Another one is that Noah got drunk and Ham molested Noah. Another one is that Noah got drunk and Canaan molested Noah, not Ham. Another one is that there was no rape or molestation, but kind of something, you know, something bad happened, but the Bible's not really clear about it, but Noah wasn't actually molested, okay? So we're going to go through these theories, but before we get into that, I want to go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Because as I said, I'm not 100% for sure what happened, and I'm not 100% dogmatic that molestation did take place, but I don't want to ever be accused of going light on the homos. So let me just be very clear that it is definitely true, according to the Bible, that homos will sometimes get people drunk to take advantage of them. And so that is definitely possible. I'm not for sure that that's what's taking place in Genesis 9, but I want to show you that that is definitely a possibility here. Habakkuk 2, verse 15, in your minor prophets. And it says in Habakkuk 2, verse 15, woe unto him. Now, the Bible uses the pronoun him. It's referring to a man, obviously. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. So this is a guy giving another guy a drink. You say, oh, that's cool. He bought him a Coca-Cola, right? No. That's not what took place. It's referring to alcohol. That puttest thy bottle to him. So woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also. So here's a guy who's getting another guy drunk. Well, what would be the purpose of that? Now, I will say this, that in college, people think this is a cool thing where people just get drunk, and it's considered a cool thing to get other people drunk. But one major danger about that is sometimes you're going to have people like this that would get someone drunk. You say, why? That thou mayest look on their nakedness. Now, this is a euphemism in the Bible where it says, look on their nakedness, to refer not just seeing with your eyes, but actually doing something. And the Bible's saying, there's a guy that would get another guy drunk. You say, what's the purpose? To look on their nakedness. Okay? Now, I want you to notice, though, pronouns are important. It does not say that thou mayest look on his nakedness, does it? Says that thou mayest look on their nakedness. You notice how it went from masculine, 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 masculine to gender neutral? You say, why exactly is that? Well, you know, one way to understand this is if, you know, and I've obviously done studying on psychopaths and serial killers and stuff like that. What you'll often see is when a serial killer will go into a home, they'll basically tie up the husband and they can do anything to the entire family. And so I think what the Bible's showing you is sometimes there'd be a bad person that would get people drunk. He might choose to take advantage of the husband he got drunk, but if the husband's basically incapacitated or tied up or drunk, he can do whatever to the wife, he can do whatever to the kids. But as the Bible says, you first bind the strong man if you come into a house, because the husband's going to be able to defend the family. And so sometimes these kinds of, because one thing we understand is this, that when it comes to homos, they're not really homos because they're bisexual. That's what the Bible teaches. And what the Bible says is there would be people that would get a guy drunk to look on their nakedness. And one thing the Bible references is that when you're married, it refers to your wife as your nakedness also. okay? So the Bible's showing you that there would be guys that are reprobates that would get somebody drunk so they can take advantage of other people. Now, unfortunately, I've heard stories of this in college of this sort of thing happening, where a guy gets another guy drunk at a party. I think I've said in a sermon before, I have a friend who has a friend, and you know what? He had a friend who got drunk at a party, and then all of a sudden there was this guy who went to the party, and he said, oh man, I've drank too much alcohol, can I just sleep on the couch tonight? And apparently this is something this guy did all the time. And then that guy who said he was too drunk to drive home then tried to rape the guy of that house that was there. But unfortunately for him, that guy was not too drunk to not be able to defend himself, and he beat that homo to the point of almost death. So some stories have a happy ending, even if they have a bad start, right? But that's exactly what this is talking about. This takes place in real life. And you know, you hear stories about various things that happened, and then sometimes homos are you know, taking advantage of women as well when people are getting drunk and stuff like that. This sort of thing actually takes place. But it says that there would be a reprobate that would get people drunk to end up taking advantage of the entire household. Perhaps the guy, perhaps the wife, perhaps the kids. Obviously, they don't have any morals, so it doesn't matter to them. So look, the bottom line is this. It is definitely true that reprobates will use alcohol or drugs or something like that as a means to take advantage of other people. I mean, there's these cases with, you know, celebrities, and this sort of stuff happens all the time. Go to Leviticus 20. Let me just show you real quickly, Leviticus chapter 20, that the Bible does teach that if you're married, that your wife is considered, you know, part of your nakedness. It's a terminology the Bible gives. And the idea is that, well, when you're married, you belong to your spouse, and nobody else should be seeing your wife, nobody else should be seeing the husband, just the two of you. And so basically, you share that together is what the Bible's showing. Leviticus 20, verse 11. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. So it's referring to a guy who would sleep with his father's wife. Well, this is obviously not referring to his mom, because it would just say his mom, I believe. It's kind of like, unfortunately, in the church of Corinth, right? That one should have his father's wife, right? The same sort of thing. And it says, hath uncovered his father's nakedness. And why does it say his father's nakedness? Well, because, you know, if that is his wife, then his wife belongs to him, not to some other guy. And so if some other guy would basically, you know, be intimate with her, that's referred to as father's nakedness. And what does the Bible say? Both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. This is obviously a major sin. And so what we saw from the book of Habakkuk is somebody that would use alcohol, a reprobate that would use alcohol as a means to physically take advantage of other people. And this, obviously, it's mentioned in the Bible for a reason, because it actually happens. I knew somebody in college, someone I had gone to high school with, and, you know, I heard this story from other people I had gone to high school with, but someone I had been friends with in high school, he had gone to a party in college, he got drunk, and then all of a sudden he woke up the next day and there was a guy in bed with him, and he didn't remember any of it. And it's like, well, you know what, when you get drunk, this sort of stuff happens. Right? I mean, alcohol will deceive you, it'll mess up with your mind, you know, you're going to lose your sense of judgment and stuff like that. You don't really know what's even going on. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Now, turn back to Genesis chapter 9. Now, let me just quickly read through the verses in this story, and then we're going to get into those theories. All four of them, we're going to look at what the Bible says. And at the end, I'll kind of give you what my opinion is. But it says in Genesis 9, verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done. So Noah immediately wakes up, and he immediately knows what his younger son had done on him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So you've got a story, and there's really only a small handful of verses on this topic. It's not super clear what takes place, which is why there can be different opinions on it. But basically, Noah gets drunk, and it says he knew what his younger son had done unto him. Wakes up, and he says, cursed be Canaan. So the question is, what exactly took place, okay? Well, as I mentioned earlier, theory number one, which is not a theory I agree with, but we're going to go through it. Theory number one is this: the way you reconcile what his younger son had done unto him and the curse being on Canaan is this, that Noah got drunk, and then Ham molested his father's nakedness, referring to his wife, not referring to him, because we did see that that is possible. I don't agree with this theory, but I'm being fair with it. The Bible does refer to the fact of if you see somebody naked, it could be referring to his wife. That's a terminology in the Bible, okay? So it says when it refers to seeing his father, they say, well, that's referring to actually he got him his dad drunk so he could take advantage of his mom, okay? And they say, well, you know, she ends up getting pregnant. The child is Canaan. And so let me just tell you what I believe would be the problems with this. Well, when Noah wakes up, he immediately curses Canaan. Look, if this is saying that Noah got drunk and then Ham molested Noah's wife, how would he know that his wife was pregnant? And how would he know the name of the child? That's a pretty major hole in the theory. And I've heard this theory preached in a sermon before, but that's a pretty major hole in, you know, how does Noah know the name, and how does he even know that his wife is pregnant with Ham's child? To me, that's just like 2 + 3 = 5, that theory's gone, right? Unless Noah names the child, I mean, it doesn't make sense. The only way you can reconcile that is if God basically talked to Noah and told him what happened, because otherwise, how would Noah have any idea? He'd have no idea that his wife was pregnant either. So to me, that's not really a possible theory. And, you know, when it talks about Noah being uncovered, all indications are that Noah is the one that is naked. There's no real indication that it's his wife. I understand the Bible does use a terminology where it can refer to the wife, but here it talks about Noah being uncovered. It seems pretty clear it's just referring to Noah. Nothing to do with his wife. There's nothing in the story about his wife. So to me, that one's a little bit far-fetched. Another theory is this, that Noah gets drunk and Ham molests Noah. Ham molests Noah. That's a common theory. Genesis 9, verse 22. And it says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And so people oftentimes look at this phrase, saw the nakedness of his father, and they say, well, see, Ham did something to his father. Saw the nakedness of his father, which is oftentimes a euphemism to actually physically molest. And then it says, and told his two brethren without. Now let me say this, though. Because saw or look can be a euphemism for more things taking place, but it can also just refer to actually seeing. It can also just mean that you saw with your eyes. It doesn't actually mean that anything physically happened. And here's the thing. I don't think this phrase, saw the nakedness of his father, is referring to molestation. You say, why? Because of this, it says he told his two brethren without. If that's referring to him molesting Noah, then he told his brothers, I just molested dad. Now, when it says without, it's referring to kind of privately, kind of like the Bible says without the city, kind of away from people. So basically, he talks to Shem and Jacob. If this is saying that, you know, he molested his dad, then he's like, guess what I just did to dad, right? To me, that doesn't make any sense. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't possible for him to be molested. I'm just saying that phrase in and of itself, I'll show you here, not just from that, but in the next verse, is referring to he saw his father naked, okay? Because otherwise, he told his brethren, this is what I did to dad, which that is very far-fetched, I think. But then notice what it says here in the next verse. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. See, another problem I have with saying saw the nakedness of his father is referring to an actual molestation is because the Bible is simple to understand. And if in verse 22 it's saying Ham saw the nakedness of his father, and the next verse, his brothers, their faces were backward because they're embarrassed, right? They don't want to see their dad naked, obviously. Their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. It's obvious it's saying that Shem and Japheth did not see with their eyes. Well, to me, it would be very strange for that word and phrase to completely change meanings in back-to-back verses. It can be a euphemism for more taking place, but in verses 22 and 23, you know, to me it's like, well, he would have had to tell his brethren without, this is what I did to dad, and then in the next verse, it completely would change meaning. That would make this story very, very confusing. I don't believe God's trying to confuse us. It's not the simplest story to understand, because there's only a couple verses, and it says that no one knew what his younger son had done unto him. The Bible doesn't necessarily make it super clear what his younger son had done unto him. So people can have different opinions, but it's just that the word saw would be completely changing meanings in back-to-back verses if in verse 22 it's referring to a molestation. It is true, because we saw earlier in Habakkuk 2 that to look upon their nakedness can be a euphemism for more than that. It can also just mean that you're looking with your eyes, okay? It's used in both contexts. So, I'm not saying a molestation didn't take place. I'm just saying, I don't think that that's what that phrase is referring to when it says, saw his father's nakedness. I think it's saying that he saw with his eyes, okay? Verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done on him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now, this is the part that people had a lot of trouble reconciling, because it says he knew what his younger son had done unto him. And people are like, he knew what Ham had done unto him, and then he curses Canaan. And it's like, why would the curse come upon Canaan? Well, in my opinion, the younger son is referring to Canaan, not to Ham. And I think it perfectly reconciles that way. You say, why would it be referring to Canaan? Because we would refer to this. If my son Zeph has a child one day, that child will be my grandson. But in the Bible, it refers to your lineage as your sons and your daughters, even if it's your grandson or your great-grandson throughout the Bible. So just because it says younger son does not mean it's Shem, Ham, or Japheth. Now, I would actually say it would be the youngest son that he had, and Canaan's alive at that time. So I would say it's referring to Canaan. And then it makes perfect sense why he curses Canaan. Because, like, he knew what his younger son had done unto him. Cursed be Canaan. Doesn't it make sense it's referring to Canaan? Because younger son is not necessarily referring to just how son or daughter we use it in today's world. It's grandchildren. It's great-grandchildren. Okay? It's not just your direct three sons. And so, Ham is a key person here. And I'll explain to you here during the sermon where I think Ham fits in here. But I believe the person who actually did something is Canaan, which would explain why the curse is upon Canaan and not upon Ham. That's the way I read it. That's what makes sense to me. I think it reconciles this way. This is why I said, I think this might be a possible theory of Ham doing something to his dad, but to me, it's relatively clear that Canaan is the person, because that's who the curse is on. And I believe that would be the younger son, because he's the youngest of the offspring that's alive at this point. There's actually never a verse in the Bible that would tell you that Ham is younger than Shem or Japheth, because the order of those three has changed throughout the Bible. People always assume Ham is the youngest because of this story, and he might be the youngest, because the Bible doesn't really tell us, because it changes the order, so it's kind of hard to tell. Sometimes you might order your children based on preeminence. For example, if someone would be the godliest, it might mention them first, but it could be by age, it could be different things. But I believe when it says he knew what his younger son had done unto him, and he said, cursed be Canaan, it seems like that's referring to the same person, which would explain the curse being upon Canaan. Otherwise, why would Canaan be the one of Ham's sons that got cursed rather than the other sons? Because it's very specific with Canaan. And Noah wakes up and he immediately just curses Canaan. Why would you immediately curse Canaan if Ham has other children as well, right? So to me, it makes sense that Canaan is the one who actually did something to him. Okay, now look at Genesis 9, verse 24. Actually, hold on 1 second. So keep in mind that when they got off the ark, there was 8 people, right? There was Noah and his wife, 3 sons and their wives. Well, Canaan's alive at this time. We're seeing this here in verses 24 and 25. It says, cursed be Canaan. Obviously, a lot of time has gone by, as I mentioned earlier, during these 350 years. Now, there's also a question about Ham. If Ham, because 90% of the time people think Ham is the one that did something. If Ham is not the one who did something, the question is, well, what about Ham? How does he fit into the story? We'll go back to Genesis 9, verse 1. Genesis 9, verse 1. Genesis 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons. So in Genesis 9, verse 1, it says God blessed Noah and his sons. Not just Noah, but all of his sons. Okay, and this is right off the ark that we're looking at. So that's Shem and Ham and Japheth we're looking at. Now the Bible does say God caused it to rain upon the just and the unjust. So God can bless an unsaved person. I would have trouble believing, though, that he would be blessing a reprobate, though. Okay, I'm not saying it's not possible, and obviously it's possible for later on for someone to become a reprobate if they're unsaved. But I'm not really sure about him. It doesn't really say a whole lot about him as a character. He obviously was a terrible father. What he actually believed, honestly, I'm not really sure. I don't think the Bible's real clear about that. He's obviously was terrible as a father because you see what happened with Canaan, and his whole lineage is messed up. Whether Ham himself was a bad apple or not, I'm not really sure. But I did look up blessed many times in the Bible, and generally when God is blessing someone, it's someone who's saved. He can bless an unsaved person. So I'm not really dogmatic on Ham personally, where Ham is today. Right? I'm dogmatic on Canaan. With Ham, I'm not really sure. I do think it would be odd to say God blessed Ham, and then Ham's like this vice-pongy person. Right? But anyways, so those are the first two theories. Theory one is that Ham molested his mom. Okay, I think that one I think is out there. And look, if you believe that one, that's fine. I'm not against you if that's your theory. I mean, because I'm not 100% dogmatic. I think that one's the most out there. A common one is that Ham molested his father. Many people believe that. It's probably the most common one. Another one would be that Canaan molested his father. And as I said, I believe Canaan's the one who did something. So this is one that I do believe is possible. But notice what it says, going back to Genesis 9, verse 24. Genesis 9, verse 24. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done on him. So as I said, I believe this is referring to Canaan, as we're going to see in the next verse. Well, you might ask the question, then why is it mentioning Ham before this? Well, when I'm picturing this story, Noah is uncovered within his tent, wearing no clothes. And then Ham is apparently walking by or whatever, and he sees his dad is naked, then he goes and he tells his brother. Now, what Ham should have done, if he comes to the scene and his dad is naked, is he should have covered him up and covered the transgression, not embarrass him, right? But Ham basically shows up to the scene, and whether or not he already knew this was happening ahead of time, I'm not really sure, but he just kind of shows up to the scene and just tells his brothers, hey, Noah, dad's naked. Now, the question would be, like, why wouldn't Ham just be very clear with what's taking place? Well, I personally believe he's probably covering for his son, Canaan. I don't know if he knows exactly for sure what took place, but it seems to me that Ham comes on the scene and he's smart enough to realize that Canaan was involved. Maybe Canaan was drinking with Noah earlier. I'm not really sure. And he basically comes to the scene and he basically tries to make his dad look bad by telling his brothers rather than just, you know, covering his dad up and everything or whatever so nobody's aware of it. But it seems to me it's just like a father covering for his son. That seems to be what's taking place to me. Where basically Ham is in the scene because it says Ham saw the nakedness of his father. Seems like he's just kind of walking around, sees his dad naked, tells his brothers, and you know what? They cover their faces because they don't want to see it, and then, you know, they basically cover him up with a blanket or whatever. You know, it doesn't necessarily say 100%. And so that is another theory. Now, another theory would be this, that there is no molestation or rape that's occurring, but just the Bible's not real clear on it. As I said, the last theory I do think is possible. I think it's possible that that's what took place, that Canaan might have molested his dad. I don't think the Bible's real clear in that story. But I would say that there seem to be a kind of a couple holes to that theory. Now, as I said earlier, I definitely think it's possible for bad people to use alcohol as a means to get people drunk. So I'm not trying to take a light stance on homos. I'm just not 100% clear on this story. I would say this, though. If you're trying to convince somebody of the homos, the best stories to show are two very clear stories of Genesis 19 and Judges 19. Whether this is about homos or not, the most clear stories are Genesis 19 and Judges 19. Those are crystal clear stories. In fact, turn to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Genesis 19. If You say, Brother Stecky, well, what would be a possible hole with the idea of Noah being molested by, you know, Cain and her hand? Why would that seem to have a hole in it? As I said, I do believe that's possible. There's just kind of a couple things biblically that seem to be kind of holes in that that I'm not really sure how to reconcile. One of the problems is this, though. When Noah woke up, he knew what happened. When Noah woke up, he knew what happened. You say, why would that be a hole in the theory? Well, we're just cross-referencing, and here in Genesis 19, verse 32, Genesis 19, verse 32, this is the story of Lot. Genesis 19, verse 32, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And he made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. He has no idea what's taking place, right? She gets him drunk to the point where he would have no idea what's going on. He literally has no idea what's taking place. Then it says in verse 34, and it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. So once again, when he gets drunk, he doesn't know what has taken place. And here's the thing, that's pretty common when people drink alcohol. They wake up and they have no idea what's taking place. This is usually what takes place. People have no idea what takes place. There's so many stories of women being pregnant, they had no idea they even slept with anyone. And they have no idea, well, who could the father be, because they got drunk at a party? They have literally no idea. This takes place all the time in the world when people drink alcohol. They get drunk and they have no idea what's taking place. I got saved in college, and I mentioned a couple stories. You know, there are stories you always hear in college of these things taking place where people have no idea what takes place. Stories I know of people waking up in the same bed, they don't even know what happened. They're like, who is this guy? They have no idea. Right? This happens all the time where women are like, you know, and this is something men will also do to women. They'll get women drugs so they can take advantage of them. They'll give women drugs. Right? I mean, there's a famous case in the U.S., you know, Bill Cosby. Who knows Bill Cosby? Not famous here. He's like the most famous comedian in the U.S., and he had drugged like 50 women and everything. You know, he's had that big trial, he was arrested. He had done this to like 50 women, just giving them a drug and then taking advantage of them. And you know, it's something that men often do to women. Bible says men would do that to men. You know, obviously it could be the opposite. Women can do that to women, or women can do that to men. This sort of stuff takes place. But what I'm saying is this, that when we cross-reference here in Genesis 19 of a similar sort of thing, Lot has no idea what's happening. He wakes up, and then all of a sudden it says in verse 36, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Well, that had to be a bad day for Lot, you know, months down the road when he found out, you know, that he was the father of his daughter's children. He had no idea. He had no idea that had taken place. Now, go to Genesis 19. Actually, go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Let me show you a verse. And you know what? This is a good passage, so we're just going to read the whole passage, because we're already preaching against alcohol. Anyway. And it says in Proverbs 23, verse 29, it's probably the best passage against alcohol in the Bible, Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Refers to someone who would be miserable, depressed, contentions or fighting, babbling, meaning they're talking and not making any sense, right? You know, this happens when people get drunk. Wounds without cause, people get drunk and they get in fights, right? People get drunk, they wake up, they've got bruises on their face and everything like that. Who have redness of eyes? I mean, when people drink or do drugs, you look at their eyes and they're bloodshot red. That's often a good sign that maybe they're doing drugs or alcohol. It's not a guarantee, but it's often the case. And it says, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not down upon the wine when it is red. When it giveth this color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And so it says about alcohol, it bites like a serpent. is basically like this poisonous creature and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Basically saying that, you know, people would commit adultery, you know, when they get drunk. You know, I've heard stories of people that just commit adultery when they get drunk and they've never done that before, or ruin their marriage. This takes place with alcohol. And it says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Well, obviously the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so, you know what, people when they get drunk, they say things that they obviously believe on the inside, but they don't want people to know about it, right? People get drunk and then they say these things and they destroy their lives and they don't even remember doing it. They have no idea what they said when they were drunk. They wake up and then it turns out they said the most vicious and evil things while they were drunk. And it says, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And, you know, the indication here, they have beaten me and I felt it not. And when it talks about people waking up and it says contentions, wounds without cause, this is very common with alcohol. People drink alcohol and they wake up and it's like, man, how did I get this black eye? They have no idea they've been in a fight. This happens all the time with alcohol. People get drunk, they get in fights, and they don't remember it taking place. But they were fighting. Right, I've seen people drunk fighting before at college, and it's like people that really get messed up, and the reality is many of those people probably woke up, and it's just like, oh man, why do I have all this blood on me? Like, what happened? And people don't even know. This has happened in murder trials where someone got drunk, and they don't even know how to defend themselves because, you know, someone got shot or a knife got pulled out, and they don't even know what took place. People lose all sense of judgment when they're drunk. And it says, I felt it not, indicating they don't even feel the pain, which is obviously a bad thing. If you have pain, you need to know it to protect your body, right? That's a natural thing given by God. But the idea is that they wake up and they're just like, what happened? They were able to fight, but they wake up and don't remember what happened. What am I saying? Well, it's the opposite if Noah got molested, because he didn't defend himself, but he knew exactly what happened. It's not really what you see with Proverbs 23 about alcohol. It's the opposite. When people are really drunk, they're still able to fight, but when they wake up, they don't remember what happens. It's not that you can't fight, and then you wake up and you know exactly what happened. That's not what takes place with alcohol. What takes place with alcohol is you wake up and you're like, man, what happened last night? Was I dreaming? And then, you know, basically other people will say, oh, this is what took place. I had a friend of mine in college, and this is why he quit drinking alcohol. He got drunk as a freshman, and then he woke up and wearing no clothes. Now, I don't think he had any idea what took place. He just woke up naked in somebody's bathtub, and he's just like, he had no idea what happened, but then the other people at the party told him, hey, this is what took place. Never drink alcohol again after that. I remember suggesting to him at that time, I was like, hey, you know what? And I wasn't at the party, because I didn't want to go to a party where people were getting drunk. I remember telling him, I was like, you know what, you need to just never drink alcohol again. And last I heard, you know, he hadn't drank ever since then because people were taking pictures and it was a big embarrassment to him. But he had no idea what happened, right? And this is what takes place where people wake up and they do not know what happened. But yet Noah wakes up and he knows exactly what happened, right? I mean, he has complete clarity, which is what makes this very strange, right? It makes it hard to reconcile the story because when Noah wakes up, he knows exactly what happened. And so, there's a couple ways to look at this. How would Noah have known everything? Go back to Genesis 19. It's possible that when Noah woke up and he was not wearing clothes, he didn't remember what took place, but he realized this is what must have taken place. Like, he basically didn't realize because he was obviously not able to fight or defend himself, but he woke up and he knew this is what must have taken place because he probably knew Canaan was a bad guy or he didn't trust him or whatever. When he woke up without clothes on, you know, he's thinking, well, this must be what happened. That's a possibility, okay? Noah knows exactly what took place. It could be that Canaan was drinking with Noah. Maybe Noah was drinking with Canaan, and then Noah wakes up not wearing any clothes, and those were the only two people, and then he knows, well, you know what? It must be that Canaan did something to me awful. whether that means Canaan molested him or whether or not Canaan just took off his clothes and embarrassed him like, you know, people had done to my friend in college. It's just like, I'm not really sure because I don't think it's incredibly clear, but it's just like, you know, he knows that Canaan did something. He knows that Canaan was obviously the bad guy. Now, for him to know that, you know, it could be that he was just smart enough to realize he put the pieces together even though he didn't remember, because there's no way he would have remembered this. If he had gotten molested, he would not remember that, because this is not what takes place with alcohol. You wake up and you do not remember, but he could have seen that he's not wearing clothes and realized Canaan had done something, whether that means Canaan molested him, or whether that means just Canaan embarrassed him and made him like, you know, a joke, and then to just tell everybody or whatever, one of those things. But it says he knew what Canaan had done. That would kind of indicate to me that he had to have some sort of knowledge before he got drunk. Either that he was around Canaan, or that he knew Canaan was the guy that he wouldn't be able to trust or whatever. I'm not really sure. You know, maybe Noah was drinking alone, but it's very possible. There's probably a lot of people alive at this time. Maybe Noah's not the only one who's drinking. I'm not really sure. But that would be one problem with the theory of him getting molested, or one thing that's hard to reconcile is the idea, like, well, how is he aware of what took place? Because that's just not what takes place with alcohol. You wake up and you have no idea. The other question you have to ask yourself is, would God allow that to happen to Noah? I mean, because this is a pretty vile thing to take place, you know, being molested by another guy. It's pretty much the worst possible thing you can think of. And, you know, I'm also going to cross-reference here in Genesis 19. Genesis 19, verse 8. Genesis 19, verse 8. Sorry, I should have had to go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. So we saw in Genesis 19 where when Lot got taken advantage of by his daughters, he didn't remember what took place. Well, another thing with this, notice what it says in Genesis 19, verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out on you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And what takes place in this story is, obviously, the angels come to town. And then all of a sudden, the sodomites that are living in the city, they find out about it. They immediately are trying to molest, you know, these two new men. And then Lot's like, no, here are my daughters. Now, this is just bizarre, right? Like, Lot here in Genesis 19 is like, what in the world is wrong with this guy, right? I mean, I'm glad Lot was the same person, but it's just like, man, your life really got messed up when went to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And so Lot basically offers his daughters, and what they say to him in verse 9 is, now will we deal worse with thee than with them. Now, what they were planning to do to the two angels is rape them, right? That would be the indication. Force these two men, because they think they're two men. They're going to force these two men, and then they say they're going to do worse to Lot, which would indicate they'll probably do the same and maybe kill him. I'm not really sure. But my point is this, Lot kind of deserved to have anything happen to him, because he offered his daughters, and then they're going to basically harm Lot, and God still protects Lot, even though Lot was a pretty rotten scoundrel, right? I mean, he was the same person, but it's not like Lot was a godly person, and what he did was a million times worse than Noah, and God still protected Lot from that situation. Now, I'm not going to say that it is impossible for a saved person to end up being, you know, defiled or whatever, because we do have the story of Amnon. You know, the Amnon had a friend story with Jonadab, with Tamar. I believe Tamar was saved, and he basically forces his half-sister Tamar. So I'm not saying it's impossible for that to take place to someone. I will say kind of another level than that taking place, though, is a guy doing that to another guy or a girl to another girl. It's far more vile than what Amnon did, even though obviously both are very wicked. But it's just that, you know, God protects Lot. I don't know, I just tend to believe if God would protect Lot, who deserved it, then God would be more long-suffering with Noah being in that situation. Obviously, it's a sin to get drunk, and you know what? It's definitely possible for anything to happen to you when you get drunk. People get drunk, they get killed, they get, you know, harmed, physically assaulted, or sexually assaulted by other people, that definitely takes place. I just kind of tend to believe that God would be merciful to Noah, seeing that he was a godly person, even though he obviously committed a terrible sin, you know, by getting drunk. How often Noah got drunk, I don't really know. I don't know if this is like a one-time thing or whatever. But just kind of the holes I would say to say Noah getting molested would be the fact that he knows exactly what took place, and I just kind of tend to believe God would be more long-suffering. But here's the thing. I do think it's possible. The story's not real clear, and it would seem like something very terrible happened, right? I mean, obviously, when he says, cursed be Canaan, it's something pretty extreme, so it is possible that that did take place. I'm not saying it's impossible. And look, most people I know do think that Noah got molested. I'm not against them for believing that, because it's possible. I'm not really sure. I just don't think it's 2 plus 3 equals 5. I've never thought this story was super clear. I just feel like the Bible intentionally left out a lot of details. Some things maybe we're not meant to know. But Genesis 19 and Judges 19 are very clear. Habakkuk 2:15 that we looked at is very clear. Proverbs 23 is very clear about the dangers of alcohol. So definitely you can take away whatever your opinion is in this sermon in any way that, yeah, alcohol is dangerous. It's a poison. It will destroy you. Who knows what can happen to you? And obviously we know what the homos and the reformates are like and what they would do. Go to Genesis 9. We'll close up. I'm just not 100% for sure in this story what exactly took place to Noah. Genesis 9 verse 28. I mean, I think of stories in the Bible, like, you know, Moses not entering the promised land. And that one always, whenever I read it, I'm thinking, man, I mean, Moses was so good. He deserved to go. Obviously not because God didn't let him go in, but I always read that and I feel sad for Moses. But, you know, this is like to a whole other extreme. If God, like, allowed this to happen to Noah, that's like a million times worse than Moses not entering the promised land. But, you know, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying a believer will always be protected no matter what. Because obviously I preach that, you know what, if you're right with God, you're under the mercy and protection of God. If you're not right with God, you don't know what's going to happen. Right? And if Noah's getting drunk, you know, you don't know what's going to take place. I mean, maybe Lot was just, God was merciful to Lot, you know. Maybe Lot was just lucky because he knew Abraham, and maybe God would just, you know, Abraham loved God so much that God was answering the prayer request of Abraham. That's why Lot was spared. I'm not really sure. But obviously, if you're not right with God, you know, you don't know. Right? It's not that God would cause this to take place, but he might allow terrible things to happen in your life. Right? Notice what it says in Genesis 9, verse 28. We'll close up here. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So, we have Noah here. And so he got off the ark, you know, he's basically 600 years old, and we got 350 years left of his life. When this event took place, it's pretty much impossible to tell. There's really no indication of when it took place, whether it was toward the end of his life. I mean, it doesn't even mention about, you know, Noah's wife and stuff like that. We really don't have any idea whether his wife was still around or how many years have gone by. I'm sure Canaan is not the only child that's around now. I'm sure that's not. Because here's the thing. If I'm correct that he knew what his younger son had done, and was referring to Canaan, then here's the thing. Canaan's not a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old. He's at least a teenager at the very least, right? And probably 18 plus, 20, 22. Well, if that much time has gone by, wouldn't it make sense that Shem and Japheth probably have kids too? There's probably a lot of people that are in the world now. It's probably gone from 8 very quickly to a much higher number. We're not really sure. But it's somewhere between 600 and 950 years. We're not really 100% sure. Anyways, let's close in word prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to see your word on this topic. And help us just to dig in.